Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
We started a series. What's the title of the series we started? Christ Church Today and what? And Every Day. Christ Church Today and Every Day. And so what I'm going to attempt to do very quickly today is that I'm going to try to do a bit of an introduction into the series, a clearer introduction into the series. But at the same time, I'm going to be teaching Finding Home. Usually I would teach this maybe towards the end of the series, but it's important for us as a church. On Sunday, we discussed viral message, right? And there were a lot of things that we discussed in that sermon that pertains to the Catalyst Church. Today, we're going to be discussing finding home. And the things you're going to learn here are things that would also affect generally the way you perceive the Catalyst Church. Hallelujah. And so you can judge the Catalyst Church as well, you know, through the things that you're going to be learning today. Praise God. All right, let's get into the word very quickly. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we go into your word this evening, we pray that the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. We pray that we are transformed by your word and our lives would never remain the same. We pray there's clarity in your word. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to begin by asking us a very maybe funny question. But how many people here actually cut their hair, for the ladies, plait your hair at the nearest salon to you? There's always that one person. I do it by myself, gang. But how many of you actually use the closest? Okay, let me rephrase it. How many of you don't go to the closest salon to make your hair? How about you? Do you go to the closest? Like, your brain is not processing the question. No? It's not the closest. How about you? The closest to you? How about you? Was a good one. So, I mean, there's a possibility that the closest is the good one. But it means that when you want to cut your hair, when you want to make your hair for the ladies, you are not looking for the nearest available. You're looking for the person who can do it well. Because you've probably, as a guy, you've probably had that experience of that one barber that said, I can take care of you. And then he decides to do technical drawing with your hairline, right? And mess it up, right? Now, let me ask you another question. How many of you went to the primary school closest to your house? Or high school closest to your house? Or university? All of you probably came to university in Canada. Canada is not the closest to your house. So why not the ones around you? So it means that when it comes to making decisions about essential things in your life, you don't leave it to chance. I get what I'm saying? You are careful. We don't pick hospitals based on the ones that are closest to us. We don't pick where to make our hair. When it comes to essential things in our lives, we don't go to the closest to us, we look for the best. We research, right? How much more when it comes to finding a good local church? Hallelujah. If we don't leave all those other things to chance, then we shouldn't leave finding a good local church to chance. Amen. We shouldn't leave where we feed our spirit every Sunday, every Thursday. We shouldn't leave that to chance as well. Hallelujah. And so when we're talking about the Church of Christ, Christ Church, I'm still going to do an extensive teaching on, you know, what the church really is, how the church was called out, amen? But for today, I want to focus on something different. Because one of the things that this series is going to do for you is that it's going to present to you the message of what Christ Church should truly be. What is too far when it comes to the Church of Christ? What is okay? What characterizes a church? Two people or two people and a pastor? Three people or four? Must there be a pastor? Can anyone start a church? How did Christ call his church? What are the practices of the church? What is the goal of the church? Is the church for the community or for the people of God? Is the church about charity and good works or about evangelism and discipleship? Is the way we do church today consistent with the way Christ would have us do church? Should church be done online? What is Christ's church supposed to be today and every day? And that's what this series is going to aim to sort of, you know, present to you and teach you. Now, I'm not saying this teaching, I'm saying this series in a whole. Amen. I'm also doing a presentation of the series to you. How much creativity can we add to our approach? Are you getting what I'm saying? These are the things this series will help us define. In many instances, we've seen churches focus on goodwill projects and neglecting the disciples of the people. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But ultimately, what is God's goal for the local church? Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Are you all there? All right, we're going to read together. One, two, go. And he himself, I'm going to read from the NKJV version. Are you all there? All right, let's read together. One, two, go. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Bible says, he himself gave some to be apostles. Who is he himself? God, Christ, right? So Jesus gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be pastors. He gave some to be prophets. He gave some to be evangelists. That is, in this rendition, the men are the gifts to the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? The men are the gifts to the church. Christ gave gifts to the church. And their job is for the equipping of the saints. The Greek word there is the word katatismos. What does katatismos mean? It means furnishing. It means perfecting. So Christ gave gifts to the church for the furnishing of the church. Let me explain what furnishing is. When we came into this location, it was a hall. But was it effective for our use? No. We had to set up, right? We had to set up the mics, the chairs, the rug, everything to make it. It's almost like many of you have had experience with student rentals before. When you move into an unfurnished apartment, is it effective for your stay? It's hard to live there, right? You don't know the importance of a couch until you live in a house that doesn't have a couch or a chair or any chair at all. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't know the importance of bed until you live in a house that doesn't have a bed. Oh, then you will know that you need a bed. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so the word katatismos means to furnish. It means to make complete. The work of making the empty hall useful for us is katatismos. So ministry gifts are given to furnish the body of Christ. I get what I'm saying? The church. The job is to equip the saints. Now, if you continue reading, it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the word is oikodomio, means to build up. It then says, till we all come to what? The unity of the faith. It didn't say unity of the faith. It says the unity. It's rather, it didn't say unity of faith. It says unity of the faith, meaning that there is a definite faith for us to come to unity of. So the goal of pastors is to train the members till they come to what the Bible calls the unity of the faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Many people have interpreted this to be unity despite faith. That is, let's just be united, even though we don't believe the same thing. But that's not what this is teaching. Are you getting what I'm teaching you this evening? It doesn't say unity despite faith. It says unity of the faith. Let's be, it's not saying let's be united, even though you don't believe that salvation is by faith. Let's just be united. All of us are church. Mm-mm. That's not what he's talking about. Are you following me this evening?
He's talking about something different. What he's talking about is more akin to unanimity, that we are in agreement concerning the doctrines of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he says the ministry, the job of ministry gifts is to build you up till you come to unity in the faith. Meaning that we can have unity of the faith with a church in Montreal if we preach the same things, if we believe the same things. And yet, we might not have unity of the faith with a church on this same Walker Road, even if we hold hands, but we don't believe the same thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? So unity of the faith has a lot more to do with the unity in what we believe and we teach. So he says unity of the faith, to be united in doctrine. Hallelujah. So we're not talking about just, you know, you can go to any church as long as it's a church. Mm-mm. Let's just unite. No, that's not what he's saying. Being united in the faith is being united. All in doctrine. It's the faith. It's a definite faith. And as you hear this, you begin to understand that the problem is not that there are many churches. The problem is that they are different messages. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The problem is not that there are many churches. The problem is that there are many denominations. And I can categorically tell you that God's idea is not denomination. Denomination is man-made. Because man is flawed, people don't agree on things, they start a new denomination. Hallelujah. You know, people ask me, what denomination? It's usually hard to, you know, to respond. Because, I mean, we are more, you can put us under the umbrella of Protestants, but that doesn't mean we agree with 100% with everything that you say a Protestant church in North America preaches. I get what I'm saying. The idea is that we must be united in the things that matter, in doctrine. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know, one of the earliest questions that I started to ask when I started understanding the truth of the word of God is, why are we not all saying the same thing? Can't we all just be saying? Have you ever had that question before? Like, why are we having different things to say? But here is what unity of the faith is. We can truly recommend to you another ministry if you find yourself in another country on the basis of what they preach. We don't claim to be the only ones that are getting it right. Unity of the faith is that we can recommend another ministry to you in another country if you get to the country on the basis of what they preach, on the basis of the doctrine. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? So the first thing we must identify about Christ's church today and every day is the doctrine or the message. What did I say? The doctrine or the message. It's important. Very important. What did I say? Because the Bible is very vocal about warnings against false doctrines, against false teachers. In some cases, names were mentioned. Names were mentioned. The Bible is vocal about it. If we're going to talk about Christ's church today and every day, it starts with what is the message? Before you call yourself a church of Christ, what are you preaching? That's the way to identify. Listen, in our day, we identify church by many different things that we're not supposed to identify church by. In their day, to be a person in Christ, to be identified with Christ, is to identify with the message of Christ. Today, we see people in a different light. But then, it's the message. You can't just call yourself a church. What are you preaching? The people who were called heretics in those days were people who had an opposition to the message of Christ. Are you with me? Today, it's almost like we don't care about the message. Everybody come, let's be united. Love covers all. No. Amen. To be identified with us is what are you saying? We need to know that what you are saying is. And you, when you're finding a local church, you want to listen to what they are saying. What is the message? What is the message? When you study the book of Ephesians, you know, when you begin to see it, you see that the Apostle Paul made a warning to them when the church was established in Acts chapter 20. Everybody, I hope you're writing. Yes, sir. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. I'll read NKJV version. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. Did you hear that? He had been laboring 3 years, warning them. He said, because I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come. Catholic Church, I'm telling you, not everybody is saying the same thing we are saying. And that's why you yourself have to know what the message of the gospel is, what the truth of the word of God is, so that you are able to discern. Amen. So you're able to what? Discern. It says savage wolves will come amongst you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourself, men will rise up speaking perverse things. So, how do people start churches today? On a whim. I don't agree with you. I'm going to start a walk with new disciples. You know, I made a joke on the online, you know, on the global meeting when I thought. I said, someone woke up and told you he saw something in his dream. You did not even question if it's a mental illness or something. You just followed him and you started a church. People see different things. Are you getting what I'm saying? So how? You can't just follow them head on without cross-checking, without checking, or without figuring out what is going on. No. You have to know what you're looking for. Why am I showing you this? I'm showing you because when it comes to finding a good local church, this is important. Many people think they can just travel anywhere and join any church and say it's love walk. No, it's not love walk. Many people think, you know what? Let's just believe in any church and support any church. No. Because on the basis of what it even truly means to be a church, not many pass. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to teach you the marks of a good local church as we go on. But not many even pass. So you can't just go anywhere. Did you hear that? You can't just go anywhere. Let's just go anywhere, support any church. In your mind, you think that's love work. The Bible calls it immaturity. In the same verse we're reading, in Ephesians, after I say still, we come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of Man, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. It says that we no longer be what? Children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So it means that it is children that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Someone says this, you believe. Another person says, no. Are you learning something this evening? So you can't just attend any program. Amen. You must protect your heart. You can't just go anywhere. You must protect your heart. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. So where do we get doctrine from? From scriptures. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Are you learning something this evening? 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Are you all there? Let's read together. I want to go. Do not be deceived. Mm-hmm. Evil communication corrupts what? A lot of people think he was talking about morality here, but guess what? He was talking about doctrine. If you read it in context, he was talking about doctrine. So don't think you can attend any church or go, you know, let me not say church. Don't think you can attend any place that identifies as a church. I'm kidding. But any place that calls themselves a church and think you will not be influenced. Amen. He's not talking about morality. He said, don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupts what? Good manners, good doctrine, truly, yes. 1 Corinthians 15:29 is the context. When you read it from the beginning, that's the context. So you say, oh, I like this church because of the worship. The word is not really there. But let me just, you know, it won't hurt. Let me just try. The word is not there, but I'll be okay. You will not be okay. The Bible says it will affect you. Are you getting what I'm preaching to you? The Bible says what? It says evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. So protect your heart. Not every meeting is for you. Not every program is for you. Protect your heart. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Who knows what a leaven is? That's yeast. You know what yeast is? When you see people baking, if they don't want the dough to rise, they're not going to put any yeast in it. Because even if a tiny yeast falls into the dough will rise. I get what I'm saying. Now, Jesus was walking with the disciples, and he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they said, Master, you didn't tell us to carry bread. He said, do you think I'm talking about bread? He said, have you not seen the miracle of the 5,000? So why do you think I'm talking about bread? He was talking. He said, at that time, they understood that he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. So Jesus used leaven. He used yeast as a metaphor for doctrine. And then the Bible now tells you a little leaven leavened the whole lump. So a little can corrupt the whole thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? A little can what? Can corrupt the whole thing. Emphasis on a little. He's telling you wrong association can ruin it all. The Bible was vocal about it. The aesthetic can be right. They can get the music right. But if the core is not there, it's not a church of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, let me balance this. Am I saying that there are not people who genuinely love the Lord and are just getting some things right? Am I saying they are false teachers? No. Are you getting what I'm saying? False prophets are people who even in the face of correction reject and want to stand in opposition to the truth. But they are people, well-meaning people, that are getting it wrong. Amen. But there comes to a point where you have to also protect your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because evil communication does what? Corrupts good manners. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, for time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust, they shall keep unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. Have you ever met people like that? They've gone to 7 churches in the last 3 months, always looking for the next best thing. Where's the Rema? You know, that's an African slang. Where's the Rema? I won't rev. You know, funny things. You need to stay, be committed, be serious in that one place. Protect your heart there. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I know people, the moment they feel uncomfortable with the rigor, they go to the next. But listen. The ambience, all those things, what matters? The word. I plan to say some things, but time. You know, I thought this for almost 2 hours, just to feel. There are some things I want to say. Shall I speak freely? I honor and respect everyone who is well-meaning and doing the work of the Lord. But see, what is the... I say this respectfully. When we gather and we decide that we want to do 24 hours praise or 48 hours praise and there's no word in the meeting, what are we truly doing? Because a lot of people, the way we've been raised is to see the wrong things as motivations for going to church rather than the right things. So many of us were brought up looking for wealth in church That's why we respond differently. So when something bad happens to you, say, God, did I not give you? Did I not save you? Why is it? This is what I'm saying. The conversation is revealing the true intent of your heart. So you are here. Ah, why are you not going to that church? Yeah, they worship no bang. What's that? But the word is sound there, yes or no. It means also that your motive or your understanding of the nature of worship is not right. Because let's analyze what a 24 hours praise is going to do. And when I say praise, I mean the fast-paced African style music that we're used to. So, if Jesus says that those that worship him, worship him in spirit and in truth, it means that even if you're worshiping God, thanking him after a while, and your spirit is connecting, at some point he will burst into prayer or thanksgiving to God. Amen. It gets to a point in a 24 hours dance session that is just entertainment and just show. Think about what I'm saying. It doesn't have to sit well with you, but think about what I'm saying. Amen. I'm not against having times, you know, praising God with fast-paced music. I get what I'm saying. But even in the 24 hours, the song you are singing, let us know you need the teaching. I've told you, spiritual meetings are characterized by what? The teaching of the word of God. Amen. So after a while, be honest, I've attended a few before. After a while, you're just tired, right? I'm waiting for the next vibey song to dance to. In the 24 hours, how much of the time, how many percent of it would you say your heart was truly connected to God saying thank you? Let's be honest, less than 20%. Am I saying the truth? You don't want to respond now? Am I saying the truth? I'm not. Hallelujah. So this is, we have to now look for how we want to now measure what priority is when choosing a local church. What's your priority? Hallelujah. So, because of time, I'll give you four major things to look out for. And you can even, you can judge this church based on these four things I want to give to you. Number one, proper understanding of the gospel. The gospel is the epicenter of our faith. If the gospel is missing, then it's not a church of Christ. Are you getting this? If it's missing, it's not a church of Christ. What do you believe about salvation? Is Jesus sinless? Was he born of a virgin? Did he die? Was he buried? Did he resurrect on the third day? If there's anything missing in this, for example, saying that Jesus is an angel, and he did not truly die. A claim against the death of Jesus is a claim against your salvation. A claim against his resurrection is a claim against eternal life. Are you getting what I'm saying? For example, the church in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, the apostle Paul said, "Oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes was Jesus clearly portrayed amongst you crucified?" So it means that it is possible for the message of the gospel to be presented to some people and yet they forget and focus on other things. Like the Galatian church. People had come to try to take their focus away. In Galatians 1:6, it says, "I marvel that you are soon turning away from him who has called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel." It says, "which is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." You see, this is how valuable the message of the gospel must be. That is, it is greater than everybody. He said, even if us, even use angel, just to show you that no one comes higher than the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? No one is more important than the gospel. A lot of us are more sentimental about the man of God that we are not concerned about the message. You need to be able to pick the message and prioritize the word of God, honoring it. Are you getting what I'm saying? If the gospel of Jesus is not taught and emphasized, chances are that you are in the wrong place. Did you hear that? Chances are that what? You're in the wrong place. I'm trying to speed up the teaching because of time. That's why I'm not, you know, explaining so that we can just maximize the time we have. The content of the apostles' preaching helps us understand this. Everywhere they went, they witnessed this same Jesus whom you crucified. Him did we see resurrected. I get what I'm saying. That was what they were preaching every time. Listen, I've told you before, same gospel that got you saved is the same gospel that will cause you to mature. Amen. So what are they preaching? In Galatians 3:3, he says, are you foolish? Having begun in the spirit, you now want to be made perfect by the flesh. Have you suffered many things in vain? So salvation according to scripture is by faith and faith alone. Not faith and works. Faith and what? Can you say that, everybody? Faith and what? And faith alone. In Ephesians 2:4, let's read verse 7. Ephesians 2:7, it says that in the ages to come, that he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ. It says, for by grace you are saved. Through what? Faith and works? No. Through faith. Not of yourself. It is what? You don't earn a gift. It says it's the gift of God. It says, not of works, let any man should boast. Hallelujah. There is no other way for a man to be saved, but by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul spent many epistles emphasizing this same truth. Are you learning something? This same truth. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it's faith alone. For God to show his exceeding kindness, then he gave us the Holy Ghost. Not a license to sin, but an empowerment to what? To live above sin. Are you getting this? The whole idea of salvation is the utter helplessness of man and the sovereign intervention of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? The utter helplessness of man and the sovereign intervention of God. So listen. If you did nothing, if you were helpless and you could not save yourself in salvation, then you are also helpless in keeping your salvation. Did you hear what I just said? Meaning that if you could not do anything to save yourself, there's nothing you can do to keep your salvation. How were you saved? By the sovereign intervention of God. How are you kept? He gave you the Holy Ghost now so that you can what? Live above sin. The idea that heaven helps those who help themselves is not biblical. Heaven helps those who cannot help themselves. He helps the helpless. Are you getting this? So our ability to live above sin today is also by the help of the Holy Ghost. Many of us mix legalism with faith. It's faith alone. Are we in agreement concerning the common salvation? That's what you must check in any church. Let God be true and all men liars. Let's stick to the word of God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. You will find yourself in situations where because of your friends, you might be tempted to compromise, but don't. Stand on the truth of the word of God. Stand on the truth of the word of God. Amen. Prioritize the gospel. The Apostle Paul was in the same type of situation with you. The other guys were with Jesus, eyewitnesses of all that happened. Now, the Apostle Paul is growing in revelation. And then Peter met Gentiles, started hiding from Gentiles. He was eating with Jews because he was scared of Jews. What did the Apostle Paul do? He called him out. In Galatians 2:12, he says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Before that, certain came from James. He ate with Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of the circumcision. Are you getting this? He called him out. There will be times that would warrant you to stand for what you believe and not compromise. Amen. Amen. This is important. I had some similar conversation, some of you know, with people in different places. So you have to stand for your faith. Ultimately, what do they believe about salvation? You have to check this before you choose any place. Number two, their theology about money. I'm going to rush this because of time. I have a few more minutes left. Their theology about money. Money is one of the most emphasize things as well in scripture. Christ even put it in almost in the same level, because he said, how can you serve God and mammon? Meaning, mammon is something you can serve. Money can be a god. He said it many times. He spoke about money many times in scriptures. Because money is one thing that can take the heart of men. What is their theology about money? Is every Sunday a business class? Is every Sunday about you getting rich? Newsflash. God's plan for your life and God's purpose for mankind is salvation ultimately in Jesus, not wealth. Now, I believe that God can favor men. Are you getting what I'm saying? But his primary assignment is not that. Amen. The Bible is not a book on how to gather wealth. It's a book with a center theme on Jesus and the salvation plan. So what do they believe? The Bible is replete with instructions that God is no respecter of persons. Romans 2:11 says it. Ephesians 6:9 says it. Colossians 3:25 says it. God is no respecter of persons. He used poor, he used rich in his plan. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's no respecter of person. So if you get to a church and there is a segregation based on class, there's a problem. Based on giving, there's a problem. Mammon has become God to many people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? Every other thing will be what? Don't seek God for every other thing. You are doing the opposite of what that was. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. A lot of people are trying to follow it, but they are seeking God and his righteousness because of every other thing. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Your mind should not be on the reward. And that's the mindset that causes problems, because people are here for a better life. You don't know that the Bible already says that in this world you will what? Face tribulations. Even though it says, have no fear, you overcome. But it says you will face tribulations. So the first sight of trouble, you say, now I'm an atheist. He didn't promise you a better life in the earth in terms of wealth. He promised you a better life in the sense of eternity and a life with Christ. Amen. With the Holy Ghost inside of you. Hallelujah! In 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, it says, persevere disputing of men of corrupt, it says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Let's not think gain is godliness. The rich man is not the closest to God. Amen? I've never thought that if you don't tithe, things will be tight for you. No. Tithing is an important ordinance. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not, let me not call it an ordinance. It's an important culture for us as a church, because we put our money where our faith is. We partner with the gospel to see more souls saved. We believe that if God gave us, we can give back to him. Amen. It's an important practice for us. And 10% is just the least we believe you should be doing. And the percentage idea is a good one, because if we ask everybody to give $100, $100 is too small for some, it's too big for some. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the percentage idea is just smart. But every believer has to have a responsibility of giving back for the work, of giving back to acknowledge God as your source. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? But we don't say if you don't tithe, devourer will devour you. No. Amen. So when you go to a place, there's a master extortioner. Once he holds the mic, just know that today he will give everything you have. You know, hallelujah. Anyways, I said all of that to say, watch out for the theology on money. Do they teach things like, you know, he became poor so that we might be rich? No, he did not. You will be poor. Him becoming poor was talking about his death so that you might be rich. He's talking about what? Your salvation. Amen. Not money. So people think when they get saved, money will come. If you don't work hard, you will suffer. It's just clear. Amen. We'll help you as a church, but work hard. Next, charismatic ministry. Now, this one can be a bit shaky, especially in North America, because when you talk about charismatic ministry, there is a sort of a rough history of charismatic ministry here based on extremes. Amen. But the problem is this. Don't correct an extreme with an extreme. That is, if there have been extremes in charismatic ministry, don't become a cessationist because of it. Amen. Amen. Don't correct an extreme with another extreme. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. What you don't honor, you cannot receive. Meaning, what you don't believe, you cannot see manifestation in your life. If you believe the gifts of God have ceased, and you feed yourself with teachings on it, it would never be your reality. Did you hear what I said? If you believe that it has ceased, you would never see miracles in your life. And that's just the truth. But here is what I want to say, everybody, and pay attention to this. The burden of proof is not on us. Are you listening to me? The burden of proof is not on me to prove to you that the gifts have not stopped. The burden of proof is on you to prove to me that they have stopped. Because there is nothing in scriptures that indicates the ceasing of the gifts or suggests that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. There are more things to indicate that they are present than there is to indicate. Amen. So the availability of the gifts already means that you have to prove to me why they stopped. I get what I'm saying. Moses spoke about it, that in the last days, he would that all God's people be prophets. Joel prophesied about it. Amen. Are we in the last days? Yes. Even Jesus spoke about it. So the expectation, I don't have time to do it, but I've done a full exegesis on this before. But, you know, if we saw the gifts continue, the burden of proof is for you to show me where in scripture the Bible says it has stopped. It's not on us. But here's what I'm saying. Don't be at either side of the extreme. Don't be in the extreme where you are a cessationist. And don't be at the extreme where, because of the flow of the gift of the Spirit, it has become not to the glory of God, but to your glory. You see, that's what cessationists try to correct. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Do we believe in miracles? Yes, we believe. Do we see them active in our lives? Yes, we do. Is it to the glory of men? No. Is it to the glory of God? Yes. What is the purpose of the gift? The purpose of the gift is for the edification of the church. Amen. That's why we must walk in it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, it says, covet earnestly. You see the problem? People that speak down on charismatic expression want to compare us to Simon the sorcerer. That we are wanting to be expressive in the supernatural for gain pleasure. But that's not true. Amen. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 12, 31? It says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Are you seeing that? Coveting the gifts of the Spirit is not wrong. Don't let anybody make you feel like it's wrong. It's the motive that must be clear. Listen, it's not an either-or situation. I'm either charismatic or orthodox. Mm-mm. It's an instruction in the Word of God that you should be charismatic. It says, covet the gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after charity. Desire what? Spiritual gifts. Is this an instruction or not? Was he talking to us? He was talking to the church in Corinth. How do we relate with them? We are also a church of Christ. Amen? If he could tell a church to desire spiritual gifts, then we would desire spiritual gifts. Amen? This is important. So I had a conversation with somebody once. And that's, you know, I'd been hearing a lot of things. And, you know, it has been beating me. I'd been talking down on charismatic ministry. So I went to Nigeria. It was bothering my heart. That's what it can do to you when you listen to the wrong things. I was questioning everything I did, laying hands on people, things like that. I was questioning it. But I went to Nigeria for camp meeting, and we had a powerful time. As I finished that camp meeting, as I stepped back into the plane to come back, the Lord said, you cannot go to that church again. Now you know the reason why I stopped going. The Lord said, you cannot go there again. I started questioning everything. Just said, no, you can't go back there. You see, you can't mix it together. Because if you feed yourselves with the wrong things, it will affect your reality. Are you getting what I'm saying? It will affect your reality. We know the purpose. We are not desiring it to play God, no. We are desiring it for what? The edification of the church. Because as a church of Christ, the Bible says that when we gather, each has what? A tongue, an interpretation, a psalm. So don't join people to make jest of the supernatural. Someone say tongues. What people are saying is this. No, tongues is for evangelism. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says in Corinthians, it says that we should not speak in tongues unless there is one to interpret. Amen? You don't get it yet. Meaning that if tongues is for evangelism and you go to China and you start speaking Chinese, do you need an interpreter? No, because they will understand. So if the Apostle Paul says that don't speak in tongues unless there's an interpreter, then tongues is not another person's language. Tongues is a language no man understands. Is this clear? Does that make sense? Do you get it? I'm rushing the teaching, but I hope you'll be able to listen to it after now and spend your time on it. We have just a few more minutes, actually. We're supposed to round up now. Next, the church must be mission-minded. This is the last one, right? This is number four. The church must be what? Mission-minded. Not just an organization or church growth-minded or mega church-minded. No, mission-minded, true mission. Amen. This is why another reason why the Church of Christ exists. For us to bring more souls to Christ. We're not just doing strategy. You know, one sad thing I saw online, I think I mentioned it on Sunday, Oppenheimer Sunday, Barbie Sunday. Like what? Hallelujah. We're not doing project management. How you get what I'm saying? That's not what we're doing. The true church is different. But we have to grow. Not just grow, we have to also disciple. So we must grow in quantity, but in quality. The men must grow. So we must be mission-minded. A sad thing I've seen in North America is that there's a lot of missions to Africa. You know, and one pastor said it one day. He said he knows that there's a lot of, a Canadian pastor, he said he knows that they do a lot of missions to Africa. That's why we never fund anyone unless it's genuine that's what they are going for. Because there's mission here to do as well. Do you get what I'm saying? There's mission. Africa is still sane in many things. We know God. There's mission here. The number of people that are leaving churches today, there's mission here. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's mission. Strong mission here. The Bible calls us ambassadors. We have to be committed to the announcement of salvation. It's our responsibility to go. So as I round up, I'll give you four goals of a church. Four goals of a church. You see, because whatever we call our goal must be from the Bible, right? The Bible is where we get the blueprint, right? What we do and how we operate is regulated by what? By scriptures. You know, I was listening to a pastor. He said he got to a church. Their strategy to multiply their church is powerful. So when he entered, he was expecting to see books, you know, being sold. He just saw one nice ride. He's like, oh my God, what's going on? There's an article of a church that did a Star Wars Sunday and their numbers multiplied. So, we're going to dive into these things, you know. What is too far when it comes to the Church of Christ? Listen, a 2,000-year-old church based on a 6,000-year-old faith does not need to jump on any bandwagon to be relevant. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't need it. The Church of Christ has been relevant for years. We don't need to jump on any bandwagon to be relevant. So the church of the job of the local church is a glorious one. It's an important one. We can't be all things to everyone, no. We have instructions. So number one, local church must be exalting God. Number two, it must be evangelizing. Number one, it must be exalting God. Number two, it must be evangelizing. Number three, it must be equipping the saints. Are you getting this? Is it making sense now? It must be equipping the saints. Number four, be embracing our fellow men. So, if I were to rephrase that, you know, a preacher I listened to a lot was one who used this to describe it, and I agree so much. Worship, learn, love, and reach. Worship, learn, love, reach. Listen, we might do community outreaches and things like that, but that's not our primary purpose. Amen. The salvation of the souls of the people is our primary purpose. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We might support out of love, but we still have a primary purpose. And so in the Catholic Church, we have a discipleship model. It's E-triple-D. That's the acronym. It is enlist, disciple, deploy, and a delightful experience for the people here. Based on this, you see that it's aligning strongly. We enlist men. We disciple them through sound doctrine and the ministry of the Spirit. We deploy them to reach out to more men. And we ensure that everyone is experiencing a delight in their walk with God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray very quickly as we round up. That the marks of a true local church which we've heard, we're going to pray first of all the Catholic Church that we do not depart from this mandate the Lord has given us. No distractions ever. We're going to pray for other churches who might, for any reason, be out of line, that they are reconfigured by the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you begin to pray? Rise up on your feet, everybody, and begin to pray. We will never be distracted. We will never be distracted. We will never be distracted. The message of Jesus, the discipleship of men, evangelizing to reach the world, the global mission, the global mindset, the global mandate is what we will hold on. The gospel of Jesus, the message of Christ, is what we will hold on to. And we are never distracted. Never distracted. We hold on to this message and we spread it.